Welcome, men and women, to our study of 1 Timothy. But this is more than just a study of 1 Timothy. This is also an introduction to the Monument Leadership Institute. So I thank you for joining us. I am pastor teacher, Dr. Mark Fisher. Many of you have met me, some have not. I am from Colorado in the United States. I became a believer in Jesus Christ in 1983. When I was 21 years old, and I have been desiring to follow the Lord and to serve Him in many different capacities as an evangelist, as a church planter, as a church recovery pastor, as a senior pastor, as a youth pastor, also as an associate pastor, and that has been in the last nearly 40 years of ministry. And so anyway, I have a passion to teach the Word of God, to help people understand who Jesus Christ is, to know Him as their Savior, and to follow Him as their Lord. And Jesus has given us His Word, the eternal Word of God, as the Scripture says, as Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I have a desire to share God's Word, and I'm thankful that the Lord has raised up the Monument Leadership Institute. That is the MLI, that is short. So when you hear me say MLI, it means Monument Leadership Institute. Why we picked 1 Timothy as the first class is because it is a letter written from an older pastor to a young pastor, from Paul to Timothy, and he is teaching Timothy how to conduct himself, how to live as a servant of Christ, and how to share the Word and live the Word that others might walk with Christ in a biblical way. And so that is why we start with 1 Timothy. I'm going to just, as I introduce here, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Monument Leadership Institute. I want to thank Pastor Fred Mzungu, your fellow brother, my brother in the Lord, who also is very passionate about this. There's Ben, there's Julius, there's Thomas, and recently I met Pastor Joshua as well, and others that I see God is raising up to be part of this program. So I consider my brother in the faith, Fred Mzungu, Pastor Fred, as a co-leader in this ministry. He will also be teaching classes and helping along with myself, developing other leaders to carry on the work that God has started with us. Now, the aim of the MLI is very simple. It is developing biblical servant-minded leaders devoted to the Holy Scriptures. And so our desire is three things. So the MLI graduate and the one who would work their way through this program ultimately would have the ability to walk the faith practically. And what does that mean? From Colossians 1, 9 and 10, Paul prayed this for the believers at Colossae. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding, that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. And so we desire for the MLI graduate, the student in training that graduates the program, will have the ability to walk the faith in a very practical way, whether at home, in the church, in their community, wherever it may be, they're living to please Christ. Number two is the ability to defend the faith confidently. Now, in the MLI program, we have developed three levels of training, which will end up being about 100 classroom credits total. And in level two, we'll begin, if you want to say, the apologetic approach. We will begin to strengthen your faith more in the ability to defend the faith. But all along the way, we also want to give you knowledge of the Word of God, that as soon as you begin the class and you begin to learn, you have the ability to defend the faith confidently. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord," or honor Christ as Lord. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander or what they have said." And so number two is, we want the MLI graduate, the student in training, to have the ability to defend the faith confidently, not to be tossed around by strange teachings. And even in 1 Timothy, we will see that and talk about that. And number three, we desire that the MLI graduate, the student in training, would have the ability to strengthen those of the faith positively. And we scripture for that is Proverbs 27:17. It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And so number three, that the MLI graduate would have the ability to strengthen those of the faith positively. So that's my desire when I come to Africa. My desire is to walk the faith practically. So the mark that you see now is the mark you see at home. I don't fake it. I don't act one way at home and act one way with you. Wherever I go, I am who I am. My desire also when I come there is the ability to defend the faith confidently. And that is why when I am asked questions, I am asked things pertaining to the scriptures, I use the scriptures to defend the faith. Not my own understanding, not what I think is right, but God's holy scriptures. And also when I come to Africa, I desire to strengthen those of the faith in a very positive way, in a way that builds them up. And as you're being built up, I'm being built up. So again, the aim of MLI is developing biblical servant-minded leaders devoted to the Holy Scriptures. Again, so whether you're at home or out of the home, the life of the servant-minded leader would be a consistent testimony to the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And whether among fellow believers or among non-believers, the servant-minded leader would be able to consistently prove and defend the scriptures. And again, number three, whether among family, church family, or other fellow believers, the servant-minded leader would be able to humbly exhort and encourage those of the faith. Now, as of recent, I have recently sat down with Pastor Fred, who is a co-director, co-coordinator of this MLI program in Uganda. And we have realized that we are making some changes. And one of those will be is that now this program will not just be simply for men, but for women as well. And why is that? Because women are a very important part of the ministry, whether it's being a wife of a pastor, whether it's just being a wife of someone who serves in the church. They may be Sunday school teachers. They may teach other ladies. They may minister the gospel of grace to their neighborhood. We want women as well to have access to the scriptural Bible teaching. And so whether you're a pastor, associate pastor, a youth pastor, a church leader, a church worker, a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be, you're welcome to be part of this program. And that is the main things that I really wanted you to know. And as we go along now and begin our study in 1 Timothy, I want you to know this is, we have developed three levels, again, as three levels. And level one will take about 2 years to complete. Level two will be 2 years. And level three will be another 2 years. And one of the reasons we do not want to rush you through this program is because it's not just about learning head knowledge. We want the Word of God to get into our head, into our mind. We want it to reach our heart, and we want it to reach all the way down our feet. So what we believe in our head, we rest assured in our hearts that this is truth, and it changes the way I live. And that takes time. It takes time for a strong tree to grow. We don't want to grow people who are like beans or maize. You have a very short season. We want to grow people that are like a jackfruit tree or a mango tree that is going to be big and strong and produce fruit for many, many years. And that takes time, and it takes patience and growth. And it gives us the opportunity, whether it's myself or Fred or Ben or Julius or Thomas or Pastor Joshua, others that are involved, it gives them an opportunity to be a part of your lives as well and experience growth in Christ along with you. And that is the reason why we do not want to rush this. We want people to truly get to know the Word of God. It's more important that you know Christ than you just receiving a certificate that you've completed the classes. And so that is why we are excited to get going here. And we are now going to dive in to our first study, 1 Timothy. And I'm going to go through the introduction, the first two or three pages. And then after that, when we get into the scripture itself, we're going to go to an audio recording. And this video recording is mainly to introduce the class, introduce myself. So there's a face to the voice that you're going to be hearing on the audio recordings. Anyway, so we can turn to page number I, it's an introduction, the index, and you should have this booklet right here, Biblical Leadership, a study of the pastoral book of 1 Timothy. And on the introduction page, I, or two, or one, we have the index. And notice this is broken up into the introduction, and then the chapters, and then we have the appendixes. Anyway, we have the introduction, and we're going to look at the four character qualities of a dedicated leader. And we also are going to look at the 1 Timothy overview and the backgrounds. And then we get into chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 as we discuss those scriptures. Now, at the very bottom of this first page, notice under the appendixes, I made a note here. It says, the letter content is interwoven rather than layered. Now, what I mean by that is when you build a home, you build a foundation, and then you build on top of that with blocks, and you keep building up, then you have a roof. And that is building on layers. Well, Paul writes most of his letters that way, but the way that 1 Timothy is written, actually it has different themes, and these different themes are interwoven through the book. So T stands for Timothy, direction given to Timothy. D is direction giving to actions of Timothy in the church. G references the godliness of reference throughout the book. And F represents false teachers that are in the book. So if you go in chapter 1, down below that even, it says we see the letters T, D, G, F, D, T, F. In other words, we see how these themes, these ideas are interwoven. It's not layered building upward. It's interwoven through the book. So chapter 2 is D, G, D. Chapter 3 is D and G. Chapter 4 is F, T, G, T, and so on. Anyway, so the idea being is that we're going to have subjects and they're going to keep reoccurring throughout 1 Timothy. It's important to understand that when you pick up a letter and begin to read it, you need to know the structure of the way it was written. Now, we come to the next page, We come to the double I, or if you want to say Roman numeral 2, and we have the four character qualities of a dedicated servant leader. So what we have is what we see throughout 1 Timothy, and like I said, this is the reason in MLI we start with 1 Timothy as the very first book that we study, because it sets the standard. It sets a standard for how our hearts should be and our desire should be as servant leaders. Number one, the servant leader is a protector. A protector is the one who carefully watches over and guards what is under his custody or his under his care. The Apostle Paul was a guardian of the truth and of God's family. He sought to instill or put into the heart the same defender mindset or thinking in his son Timothy. And that is why Paul wrote letters, and we have them in the New Testament. And in those letters, Paul is encouraging, but Paul is also protecting his readers, his sheep, from false teaching. So we as dedicated leaders should want to be protectors of our flock. No, not takers from our flock, protectors of our flock. We learn to be adults, not children. Children take, adults give, adults protect, parents protect. Number two, we are a provider. A provider is one who is sensitive to the needs of those in his care. The Apostle Paul was sensitive to the needs of individuals and to the churches under his care. He desired the same in his son Timothy. Paul was a provider. Paul even said this in Thessalonica and to the Corinthians, that when he was among them as an apostle, he actually worked with his hands making tents so he could provide for his own needs and provide for others' needs as well. Paul was truly a giver, not a taker. Anyway, and so he desires that for his son Timothy. And so we, first of all, remember what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, tend my lambs. And that is what a shepherd does. The shepherd feeds his flock. A shepherd tends his flock. So we as providers, first and foremost, we feed our people the word of God. Not my word, not what I think is right. We feed them the word of God. So we're providers. Thirdly, we're a coach. A coach is similar to a father or a mother who is both an encourager and a teacher. The coach desires to lead by godly example. He sets the pace or he sets the pattern for those who are under his care to follow. The Apostle Paul set a high standard of leadership in which he desired Timothy to follow. So a leader, a dedicated servant leader, is a coach. They want to encourage others. They want to push others on and encourage them to follow Christ. They teach them, they instruct them. And when someone's discouraged, they pray for them and say, the Lord's in control. The Lord can help you. Let's trust the Lord in this. And a coach also sets an example. If a pastor is greedy, his people will learn to be greedy. If a pastor loves himself, the people will learn to love themselves. That is why Paul set a high standard. Paul was a servant leader. He served others. He led by serving, and he served by leading. But the fourth thing we're going to look at here of the four character qualities is he's a companion. A leader not only protects, provides, and coaches, he is also a devoted friend to those in his life. Love is what motivates him. love for his God and love for God's family or God's people. The Lord had developed this quality in the Apostle Paul, and Paul had recognized this in Timothy. And so we're a companion. If the only time you ever meet your people or see your people is on a Sunday, you need to be among them. You need to be a friend to them. And that's what it is. And that is why when I come to East Africa, my desire is to be among you and to get to know you and to learn about you. And my dear friends in the Lord, like Fred and Ben and others that I'm meeting, are helping me to understand East African culture and life. And it helps me to be a better companion. Because life here in America is very, very different. And I don't mean it's better, it's just different. We have our problems here in America. You have your problems there. We have good things happening here, and you have good things happening there. Now, below this, we need courage and staying power. That's patience, are needed to fully carry these four character qualities out, to live them out. Now, examples of these four character qualities I just talked about are examples from 1 Timothy 4, okay? The protector foresees the problem. He sees the problem coming. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Paul saw this coming. The provider meets the need. Chapter 4, verse 6. "If you instruct the brethren in these things," that's in the Word of God, "you'll be a good minister or servant of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine or good teaching which you have carefully followed." And so the provider meets the need. The coach teaches by word and deed. The good coach teaches it by speaking it and by living it. Chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And so he not only teaches it, he lives it. And the companion watches out for others. In chapter 4, verse 16, it says this: "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine," or to the teaching. "Continue in them, for in doing this you'll both save yourself and those who hear you." So the companion takes heed to himself that he's living this out, and in doing so, he's helping others to be safe from false teaching. We live in a day, both in America, East Africa, and around the world, that there is some terrible false teaching going on that is making the name of Christ look terrible among the community of unbelievers. There are many churches in America that look so foolish that the unbelievers laugh at them and mock them, because the churches are very greedy, they're very self-centered, and the pastors live as though they're kings and gods themselves. And it's shameful. And so we need to be dedicated servant leaders so we are different from these others that bring shame to the name of Christ. Now, as we read on at the bottom of this page, it says, "Never forget that it was Jesus Christ who perfectly displayed these leadership qualities. And it is the same Jesus that fills us with his Spirit in order to be faithful leaders we ought to be." The continuation of biblical churches rests on dedicated leaders holding the faith, or holding to the faith, should be our goal. For we will not only save ourselves, but also those who hear us. So we say this: Lord Jesus, may we allow your Spirit to balance these character qualities within each of us. That whether at home with our own families or in the church with God's family, we may beautifully represent the truth to all people. And as Paul is writing this book, he's an old soldier, he's an old warrior who's fought many battles, and he's writing to this young warrior how to fight the fight of faith, how to have warfare, spiritual warfare, and how to carry on without failing. Now we turn to the last page of our introduction, and this is going to be the background of 1 Timothy, and this will give us an idea of more details of this book. It's just information that helps us to know the book better, okay? To know the letter better. And I want to remind you, false teaching leads to wrong faith or wrong beliefs. And that leads to wrong thinking. And wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior. And wrong behavior leads to ungodliness. And ungodliness leads to the name of Christ being blasphemed or ridiculed. Again, false teaching leads to a wrong believing. Wrong believing leads to wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior, which leads to ungodliness, which ultimately leads to the name of Christ being blasphemed among us. 1 Timothy overview. The content is godliness and pastoral care. Paul is dealing with false teachers, false teaching, and this he needs to deal with by imparting the truth to his son Timothy. There's 3 points. There's a pastor's commission that we see in this, a leader's commission. We see church regulations, church directions, and pastoral directions, leadership directions, teaching the truth, dealing with error or false teaching, and challenging how the wrong teaching brings unwanted baggage. It brings us unwanted things that come into our lives, and it comes into our churches. Now, under verification and authorship, we have Paul as the author. It's the internal evidence of the letter itself. Paul, an apostle, it's his hand, if you want to say, writing it. He's writing the letter. The background and destination, remember, it is a letter. It is a personal letter from Paul, the father, to Timothy, his son in the faith. It is historical, and it is true circumstances that are taking place. This is not false. This is not fiction. Paul's not writing a story. This is reality. It is written only to Timothy to correct problems that were happening in Ephesus. That's why we're going to see Paul was left in Ephesus. Possibly it was written Paul was in Macedonia. Macedonia is Philippi and Thessalonica, that area. Timothy is Paul's aide and closest companion. You can read about that in Philippians 2. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, as referenced in 1 Corinthians 4:17. He's a native of Derbe. He's a son of a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Paul mentions his mother and grandmother in 2 Timothy because they had an influence on Timothy's life. He was possibly was saved in his teens or became a believer in his teens. His ministry extended to all the local congregation and even to the house churches of Ephesus. Timothy was also helped Paul be an overseer of the churches. Now, we do know that Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey when he his new teammate became Silas. God led them back to the churches of Galatia for a second visit, and that's when he met Timothy of Derbe. The occasion and the date. The purpose was to encourage Timothy to stay in Ephesus. He was to deal with false doctrine, spiritual coldness and personal issues that were coming to pass. False teachers, namely, and teachers teaching things that were wrong. They had problems of their worship services, offices, and care of widows. Those are some of the issues. There was an urgency to correct these many issues. We see that there could be disputes, speculations, that those are people dreaming about things rather than standing on the truth. There were legalisms, those were adding law to the grace of God. And there was asceticism, that is the denial of like food and marriage, thinking that it would lead to ungodliness, and also these teachings were leading to divisions. It was damaging the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also was to remind the hearers in Ephesus of the Apostle Paul's ways and teaching. It was approximately the 15th New Testament book probably written around 62 AD. We know that Paul had a fourth missionary journey, which happened after Acts 28. We know from the writings of his letters that he visited other places again, and it was probably written during this time. So some contributions and just points about the book. It's the first of three pastoral epistles. There's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And the 2 Timothy and Titus will be referenced also in this study. The letter was personal to Timothy and aiding the church, because there is personal instruction given directly to Timothy. It's really an instruction book for all of those who desire to be church leaders, Sunday school teachers, because these principles of leadership apply, many of them, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, these leadership principles do apply. The letter is one unit. It's not a dictionary, and it's not a theology book. It's a letter written from a father to a son. Does it have definitions of things in there? Yes. Does it have theology? Yes. But we must remember, first and foremost, it is a letter, it is one unit, and it's personal. Intercessory prayer also is encouraged, that we pray for our leaders, and we will see that in chapter 2. It talks about guilt-free living, having a clear conscience before the Lord. It's not fun having guilt hanging on your shoulders and carrying guilt around. The Lord wants us to live with a clear conscience. The letter addresses bishops, that's elders, pastors. It addresses deacons. It addresses young women. It addresses servants, and it also addresses the rich. Much information in the letter is assumed. And what do I mean by that? That Paul does not say a lot of specific things regarding people, but it's assumed that Timothy knew much about Paul, that he knew much about what was going on in Ephesus. So we read the book, but we knew that Paul and Timothy knew a lot more information than we just read about in this book. Unique facts. Here's just some unique facts to add to this study. The name Timothy appears 24 times in the New Testament. We know that he was a big part of Paul's life. He's mentioned in 6 letters as Paul's companion. The key words found in this book are godliness, doctrine, that's teaching, conscience, gospel, preach, teach, and charge. This is very important. We live in a day where godliness is being forsaken by many church leaders. The Roman Catholic Church for years has a very bloody and sinful history of having horrible leaders that were very ungodly. And we have that also in today's present day prosperity gospel movements, We have preachers getting rich. They're very covetous. They're very self-centered. They've created themselves to be the gods of their own little kingdoms. And it's all ungodliness. And so the word godliness is very much a part of who we are to be godly, servant-minded leaders. The key verses are chapters 1, verse 3, and chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Those we will be going through. Paul clearly shares his salvation and his calling that he has from Jesus Christ. It's not his own calling. Paul did not appoint himself as an apostle. Paul was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ, and he did not make it up, and he did not call himself. It's not nearly as warm as other letters. This is actually a very focused and business-minded letter. Paul is very much to the point. He gets very much to the point. And he's not using a lot of words. He's using few words to say some very hard things. Ephesus, or Timothy, had three prior tasks. And you can note those as you read those. Ephesus may be Timothy's hardest assignment yet because of the false teachers. We don't know for sure, surely. And we see Gnosticism, or its tenets or its teachings, may have been behind some of the disobedience here. Gnosticism was a movement that began before Paul, during the time of Christ. And it was the idea of a very religious a movement of rigorous or very strict self-denial. We can't marry, we can't eat certain foods, and we can't do these certain things, because if we do those, we will defile ourselves. So it was another form of religious works. It was another form of hypocrisy. And we see maybe some of the roots of that teaching already in this letter. And anyway, so that concludes our introduction to 1 Timothy. Also, it concludes our introduction of this video to the Monument Leadership Institute. Again, I want to thank you, students. You're going to be in for a great ride. You're going to be in for some challenging studies. As you know, along with these classes, there is self-study, which is very important. And the reason I say that is because already by this time, as you were listening to this video, you should have been doing some self-study for preparation for this class. Now, anyway, I want to pray right now, and I want to thank you for being part of this, and I'm going to pray for you that God would do a work in you, and that He'd continue to do a work in you in our lives, that we may truly be, as the desire is to be, if you want to say, servant-minded leaders that are devoted to God's holy scriptures. Now, our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts. We humble ourselves before you, because there's only one King, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We do desire to give Him all the glory, the honor, the praise. I want to thank you for these students in training, for these leaders in training, for those that are part of this Monument Leadership Institute. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, and keep developing us, keep teaching us your ways in your word, that we would not only teach them, we would live them, whether at home or in the church, in the community, wherever we may be at, that we'd be living for you, following you, desiring and learning to be what it is to be a servant-minded leader, devoted to your holy scriptures, because your word is eternal. May, as they continue forth in this study, may you open their eyes, open their hearts, and strengthen them. And I even pray, Lord, as we are in our own personal lives, that we desire to live with a clear conscience, we would devote ourselves to your word, and we had learned what it is to follow you, Jesus, in a deeper and a more intimate way. And so we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, that concludes this video introduction to 1 Timothy and the MLI. And the MLI mission, if you want to say mission, and that is to develop servant-minded leaders with devoted to the Holy Scriptures. May you be blessed as you continue through this study. I look forward to hearing the feedback from the questions you have in class. And you are free to write questions down. You know that. And that if, and this goes for all classes as you continue forward, if you have questions, usually you communicate them with the leaders or the coordinators of the classes, and they will get back to me, and I may do some audio recording, video recording, answering those questions. But in the meantime, may the Lord richly encourage your heart, may you be strengthened in faith, and may you just be devoted to God's scriptures. We say this all for Jesus' glory. Buona Asifiwe. Amen.